family, God's government. God has a family. We are part of His house. We are part of His family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been bought at a price through the blood of Jesus. And He adds us into the church. Is that right? Last week we talked about the issue of the heart. We talked about how we can allow mixture in our lives as Christians, as believers. There's so much mixture that can be. And we talked about the kingdoms of this world, right? The feet of clay and iron that are mixed together cannot mingle together. They cannot cleave together. And it's a false sense of unity. Right, and so when we talk about the family of God, you know, we talk about the house of God, there must be order. Alright, we're going to talk about the government of God in God's family. Alright, and we're going to talk a little bit more in the context of God's family in this local context. But it applies corporately, it applies throughout the body of Christ, it applies locally in a local church setting like we are here right now, and it also applies to us individually. Amen? Alright, so I just want to put up a picture here. We talked about that last week. Okay, and we saw how King Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision. Everybody said, saw a dream. And that dream was the statue here that you see on the left-hand side of the screen. And we said, alright, and I'm sure you've heard this over and over again by now, but the statue represents the kingdoms of the world. It then starts with a hand and ends with a toes. How many toes?
Ten
toes. And the 10 toes are made up of what? Okay? A mixture of iron and clay. And the Bible tells us that they don't mix together. Iron and clay cannot mix together. It's partly strong and partly fragile. And we talked about how the kingdoms of this world, and we're living closer and closer to the days of the returning of the Lord, and we see in our generation the mixture that is in the world. Right, but God wants us to be pure without mixture, set apart unto Him, because there was a stone cut without hand that will bring down this statue where all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Because to the increase of His government there shall be no end. Amen. Alright, this is the hope that we have. Alright, when we see this vision, we talk about the government of God. There's one who is returning, that will bring an end to everything that is in this world and establish His everlasting kingdom, His rule and reign on earth and on with His everlasting kingdom. I want to declare this morning that Jesus is the King of Kings.
Yes.
He is the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And
Amen.
He is coming back.
Yes.
He is coming back.
Yes.
And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So I want to talk to you this morning about the government of God. Alright, the government of God in His house. Government speaks of order. It speaks of God's authority. It speaks of God's order. Now, as I begin this morning, how many of you know that, you know, when you do things, there's going to be order, or otherwise we'll be confused. Is that right? Okay? Are you with me so far this morning?
Yes.
You still awake?
Yes.
Alright. So when we do things, when we do some kind of work or anything like that, we need to have order. Is that right? When we have a family, your parents and you're part of the family, there's going to be order. If you have a party, there's a order. If you have a wedding ceremony, there's a order.
Right?
Yeah.
No? Okay, there's always going to be some form of, there's going to be order, is that right? Okay? If there's no order, there's what? Chaos. Which is what? Confusion. When there's confusion, everyone does whatever's right in their own eyes. There's confusion. Do you know Babylon means confusion? Alright, but that's why we don't want to be of the world, we don't want to be in the world, we don't want to have the mixture of the world inside of us. So we've got to keep ourselves clear and clean from mixture. But we need order. Everyone say order.
Order.
We need God's order in our lives. Only in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7 he says, of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Alright, there's going to be the increase of His government, of His rule, and the Lord God, He will establish it and He will order His house. So let me put it rightly just in this context this morning. We are part of God's family. Yeah. Nothing special about that. We are part of His household. This is a house, is that right?
Yeah.
Right? Remember, church is not the physical building, right? Okay, but we are the house of God, gateway to heaven, and from heaven. In this house, there's got to be order. Alright? Order. Say for instance, right, if the parents speak to their children, alright, it would be right and orderly for the child to respond back. Parents? No, you don't agree with that? Wow, I'm not sure where I'm going this morning. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Like if the parents are communicating to the children, should the children respond?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're at a school, for example, and your teacher speaks to you, do you respond to the teacher or you just look at him and stare at him? And right? Do you answer back? Do you respond back? Right? Is that right? There's got to be a measure of order, right? When you go to someone's house, for example, right? It's not your house all of a sudden, right? For example, I give you, right? So you've got your guests, right? Your guests are not just going to, even though we say, do as you please, you know, make yourself feel at home. But they're not going to go into their master room, are they? Okay. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Do you say that to your guests, make yourself feel at home? But do you really mean that?
Yes.
Not really, okay? What we're trying to say is, feel comfortable, alright? We'll look after you, you're my guest. I'm going to make you feel good and I'm going to give you some good hospitality. But I'm not saying, go into my master bedroom and go on the bed and roll yourself and do what you want.
No,
absolutely not. Right? There's going to be some kind of order, is that right? Okay. Well, look, this is what I have to do to get you alive this morning. Okay, but anyway, but God is going to set an order. So it is right that when we talk about all these things, there's got to be order in the house. How much more? When we talk about the house of God, should there be order?
Yes.
There must be order. God is a God of order. Satan, alright, God is not the author of confusion. But Satan is confused, alright? And so in a chaotic situation, in a chaotic house, there must not be disorder. Disorder will lead into chaos and confusion. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, holy and perfect. He is establishing that. I want to share five points this morning. And before we do that, I want to, there should be something on the screen here. And we covered that a few weeks back. You know, we talked about not just take heed how we build, but what we build, where we build, and when we build.
Yeah.
Okay, and it revealed to us what? Jesus is the builder. Alright, so we talked about a few other things as well. But I want to remind you of these things we established. In the house of God, God sends into His family, or God sends into His church, to step. The church, God sets the members. Everybody say, God sets the members.
God sets the members.
God composes the body.
God composes the body.
And God appoints.
God appoints.
All right, so in His church, He will, number one, set. Number two?
Compose.
Number three?
Appoint.
All right, you say it with me together. Number one, God?
Set.
Number two?
God composes the body.
And number three?
God appoints.
Alright, in the body, right? So God appoints. So I want to be very clear. First of all, I know I've said this, we've already talked about this, right? But when we talk about the house of God, especially, you know, in this local context, I know, and I hope you know, but I know that God sent me. God chose me and composed me part of this body, and God appoints me in this body. You understand about that? So I know where I belong, alright? Otherwise, I would have a bit of an identity crisis, wouldn't I? You want to hear about my identity crisis?
Okay.
Alright, you don't want to hear it? Okay. I am Chinese by descent.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I am Mauritian by birth. I am Australian by immigration, or citizenship, sorry, citizenship, that's the right word, thank you. By citizenship, I'm a Christian by spiritual birth, and I am Malaysian by stomach. this is a future. No, this is the confusion that I live in, or the identity crisis that I have. Okay, but I know God sets and appoints me in His house. Yeah. All right, I know this much. Okay, and I know that this is my house, and in this house there's got to be order. So I want to share 5 quick points with you this morning, and I want to verbalize the points, and let's just take them one each, please. So just a slide before. Number one. The number one thing that we're going to see. Okay, now, apply this as a family, as an individual family. All right, apply this over our lives. Apply this as a local church. And apply this as a whole body of Christ. It applies throughout, okay? So it's not something that just works for local church or anything like that. It applies for everything that we do. It even applies in your business, in your workplace, in everything that we do. Alright, this is relevant in every aspect, okay? You'll see what I mean by that. Number one, who is above all? Number two, who is in us? Number three, who is... Sorry, there should be who is over us. Okay, so or above us. Who is over us or who is above us? Number four, who is with us? And number five, who is for us? Okay, number 4 and 5, we're going to look at it together. Okay? Number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Can you verbalize this together with me? 1, 2, 3. Who is above all? Who is in us? Number 3. Who is above or over us? And who is with us? And who is for us? Now you're probably looking at this. I know all the answers to this, and you should. Okay? Alright. Number 1. Let's look at number 1. Who is above all? Who is above all? Who is the King of Kings? Who is this King of Glory? Alright? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18, it says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Okay? So that through all, in all things He may have the preeminence. He is number one. He is above all. He is God. He is Creator. He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the perfect man, a perfect God. Alright? Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 46. I'll let the scripture speak for itself, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 46, it says this: There's one body. How many body?
One.
One body. And one spirit, just as you were called with one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Okay. Alright, I think it's very clear, right?
Yeah.
The Bible is preaching at us. Amen. Alright, Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 26. And this is talking about Paul encountering these people who are worshipping a God whose name they don't even know. And in verse 22 says, Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus, that's how you say it, and said, Man of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Therefore the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell and on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries for their dwellings. Okay? These scriptures here talks about the sovereignty of God. He's above all. Now in his foreknowledge, he foresaw, he foreknew, and he predestined accordingly. So God is overall. God is above all. When we talk about the household, as an individual family here I'm talking about, God is above all. When you talk about a local church like this, God is above all. When we talk about the nations of the earth, God is above all.
Yeah.
Even though we see so many things happen, God is still in control.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's nothing that God is not aware of, yeah. And He is building His church. How many of you know that even though darkness is all over the earth,
yeah.
Yet God is raising His church.
Yeah.
And there's light. Right? Arise, shine, for your light has come. Right? Even though in the midst of darkness.
Yeah.
Right? And it said, the Bible says the righteous will become more righteous, and yet at the same time the wicked are becoming more wicked. So even though we're seeing around us, there's so all kinds of wickedness happening all around the world. Alright? But we have such a hope, and we're believing, and we're seeing it, that God is raising His church.
Yes.
Righteousness, holiness, an army of God that will stand against all the vows and the vows of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it's important to know that God is above all. Right? When God is above all, then suddenly we're more conscious that, hang on, okay, we talk about that. It even means the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? Right? If we know that God is watching us at all times, doesn't that create the fear of God in us? Is that right?
Yeah.
Right? That's why we can't fear man more than God. But sometimes we have the fear of man more than we actually fear God. And so we live in a way that pleases man,
yeah.
Rather than God. Because we forgot that God is above all.
Yeah.
So we can lie, cheat, do all kinds of things to look good in front of people.
Yeah.
So we can get what we want. Alright? And even sometimes when people can lie, they can sugarcoat it to make it look like it's not really a lie, but it kind of is a lie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We can turn it around. So you're still lying, but you turn the story to make it look like you're not lying, but really you're lying.
Yeah.
It's still lying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alright? So there's no sincerity in our hearts. Right? But when we know God is above all and is watching, then you know, when you do something wrong, then you know you want to get it right, because you know it's beyond me, it's beyond people,
yep.
It's God. God knows. One day I will stand before God and I will give Him an account. We will give Him an account of our lives, wouldn't we? Right? But God is above all. So let me add this extra one here in passing. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So isn't it right for children to honor their father and mother? Alright? But remember, God is above all. Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, children, you should go against your parents. But what I am saying is, the parents must be in the Lord. Can you see that the order is not parents for the children, it's the Lord above the parents, the parents over the children. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can you see, is that important?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we see, well, the parents is honor your father and mother. Your father and mother is not in the Lord. So you're going to sin? You're going to approve of the things that are not right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it must be in the Lord. As people, as parents, I will honor always, we honor always honor our parents. Does that make sense? We always respect. We always give them a place of honor. Isn't that right? But it is important to realize that He who is above all. Very important to see. Very important to see. Let's move on to the next one. Who is in us? Number two, everybody verbalize it. Who is in? In us. Who is in us? It is Christ in us. Now, okay, I forgot to say this. Some of you are thinking, why are we talking about this? Alright, I talk about this so that we're talking about, this context is morning, we're talking about the house of God, isn't that right? So, if I can understand those points, right, when I walk into this place, when I gather together with the house of God, I know exactly, I know the order. I understand principles. For example, right, like I said, you walk into someone's house, you understand there are certain protocols that we must respect. There's a kind of order. If you go to someone's birthday party, for example, it is this person's birthday party. It is not my birthday party. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I can't go in and become the highlight of the day because it's not my birthday. It's someone else's birthday. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? When I go to work, for example, okay, if you go to work, for example, your job, your company that employs you, your boss meets you. You don't act like you're the boss over him all of a sudden, right? Because you understand that he's your boss. Simple as that, right? But if you have no order whatsoever, you don't know who is who in the zoo, then you get yourself in trouble, right? Alright, because sometimes you just see people, just overstepping boundaries just because they do not understand order.
Yeah.
Very important. Who is above all? God, first of all, number one, I want to say, God is above all. It's important to understand honor. It's all important to understand order, because when there is order, how many of you know that in a kingdom culture there's such something called honor?
Yeah.
Yeah? We are vessels of honor. We are to bring honor to God, but we are to honor one another as well.
Yeah.
Is that right? So we are people that brings honor. So I'm going to get into this in a moment, but we've got to understand this. When there's order, when we understand who is above all, who is over us, who is with us, who is for us, suddenly you realize that, hang on, the way I conduct myself in this environment, there is a particular order and protocol, and that is kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen? Alright, who is in us? Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The incorruptible seed in us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have the nature, God, we are born again to have the nature so that we can develop, we can express the character, the nature, and the life of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so as a church, as a body, as a local church, right, we are to reveal and express to one another, first and foremost. Obviously, we want to reach out to other people as well. But as far as this place is concerned, we are people who are to model after Christ. Is that right?
Yeah.
So when we realize that, you realize, okay, well, Christ is in me, Christ is in you, we're born again, we're brothers. Okay, then you know each other. You know each other as brothers and sisters. Right? Is that right? So you understand that. So we don't have a sense of prejudice, racism, or any kind of things towards people, because we realize that every person, whether what color you are, black, white, yellow, skin, purple, whatever it is, we are born again, we are part of God's family. Who is in us? What are we expressing as a church? What is coming out from here? Is it to elevate self? Is it to have some good time in singing songs? Is it to just have some good food after the hospitality? What are we trying to express? Is it Christ, the preeminent, who is above all? Is that the Christ we're trying to manifest? Alright, again, I say this is not just in words, but is expressed in action.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know it by seeing it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't just say it. We say many things, but we got to walk the talk, doesn't it? Have you heard of that saying before? Got to walk the talk. Alright? But it's very important. Revealing Christ, it doesn't mean I say Christ be revealed in this place, then what does it mean for Christ to be revealed? Then I've got to be Christ in me, the hope of glory being revealed. There's one thing to have Christ to be in me, alright, because He gives me His new nature, He gives me a new beginning, He gives me His life, He gives me His righteousness, alright, but to be in Him, alright, going to the book of Ephesians and Colossians, it talks about in Him means I align my life according to Him. That means the Word of God, who is Christ, is what patterns and governs my life. So one thing is Christ to be in me, but for me to be in Christ means me to be aligned with His Word, with His nature, and with His character. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alright, something very important for us to know. Because when we realize that, then we look at each other in a different light. We learn to appreciate each other not much more. We really see ourselves as brothers and sisters for Christ, and we want what is best for each other rather than come for personal gain. And church can never be a place where we come and gather and do things for personal gain. Why do we minister? Why do we serve? Why do we do all of these things? Is it for personal gain? Is it to build a ministry, to build a crowd, and to feel good about ourselves? Absolutely not. Right? We do these things because we value God's family.
Amen.
Because we see that the only way that mankind can be restored is that people have Christ. Isn't that right? Okay? And number three. This is a sort of hitting the main here, this point this morning that I want to make, is who is above, or let's keep it to who is over us. Who is over us? Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Who is above all? Who is in us? And who is over us? Now, it is very important to understand that, because I think we can take this out of context and we can misunderstand it or misrepresent it in our minds, because maybe we've had a bad experience, or maybe because you heard something happen somewhere else, or maybe whatever, right? But I think it's something very important. It's something very scriptural to understand. And I know most of you are very intelligent. You probably already all know the things. I'm not preaching. I'm not sharing anything new to you. But I believe that it's very important for this to be established in our hearts, in our lives.
Yeah,
in my life too.
Yeah.
Okay? Who is over us? There are those who God appoints over us. Every authority ordained is appointed by God, whether we like it or not. We're born into a family. You like your dad or mom? Whether you like it, their mom or dad, they're still biologically your parents, right? Okay? Alright, and so you should love your mother and father, okay, by the way. Okay, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
As kids, alright, as a kid, I'll be honest with you, okay? When I was a little kid, sometimes you see your friends, oh, they get this, they get that. You know, oh, I wish my dad was like this. Oh, I wish my mom was like this. And to be honest, it wasn't too bad because I was quite spoiled too, right? Okay? In some ways, okay? But, you know, you always kind of compare. And I think we can't compare. We've got to appreciate our parents, right? Amen? All right. But ultimately, we must all be in the Lord, right? No matter how much you love people, everyone must be in the Lord. It's very, very important. But who is over us? Because you've got to understand something. If we don't, let me just go back one step again, is that, you know, if we don't understand this, right, then if God wants us to do something, we're restrained. You're like, I don't know if I'm getting out of lost you here. Okay, let's get back. Okay, no, don't worry about it. We'll come back to it, okay? Alright, we'll talk about this. Who is over us? Everybody say, who is over us?
Who is over us?
Alright. God appoints over our lives authorities. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. I'm just going to read it here. It says this: the elders who are among you I exhort. Who am I, a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed? Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory and does not fade away. Submit to God, resist the devil. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There are some very important keywords that I highlighted there on the screen. Okay? And we can see that here we find shepherd, we find overseer, there are elders, those that are God's appointed authority. And what is it saying? Honor them, is that right? We've got to honor them in humility. To honor an authority that is over our lives means humility. Is that right? By nature, human nature, and I'm not talking about the born again spirit. Human nature is always, I want to get what I want. For example, when a baby is born, it doesn't care whether your mom and dad, I'm hungry, I'm crying. Is that true? I don't know. Maybe you're looking at me like, this guy's not qualified, but what is he talking about? It's true, okay? But it is true, it is a fact that baby, when they are hungry, they just cry, right? Okay, we always think about what we want first, right? But that order changes whenever you start to get into the Lord, right? But it's not just what I want, it's what God wants. Is that right? Okay? But submission, or to come under anything, is to be humble. Alright? Otherwise, what we do, what happens is, we grumble, we complain, and we do all kinds of funny things. Even though we're Christians, even though we love one another, even though we say peace, even though we say, how are you, brother? What a great Sunday. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it great? Worship. How are you? How are you, brother? Praise the Lord. Jesus is good. Don't we say all these things, right? Flowery words. Beautiful. Alright. But who is over us? 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders who rule over you be well counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. I want to read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not on the screen there, but if you go to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14 to 15. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Alright? And Paul goes on to say that, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I want to ask you a question here this morning, because when we talk about the household of God, we say God sets, God composes, and God appoints. Right? Now, like I said, I believe I'm set appointed in this house. You ask yourself the question, are you set appointed and composed in this house? Then you got to see, you got to ask the question, then who are those who God has appointed? Right? Now, remember, it's not appointed for personal gain, it is what? For the people. Yeah. For the people. We read Isaiah earlier, if you were here earlier, to be a witness to the people and a leader and a commander for the people. Not unto self, right? It's not for leadership or anything. It's for the people. You've got to understand that very clearly, right? But there are those whom God appoint over for the people. You and I need to recognize who our spiritual parents in this house are. Very important. Even Paul said, you know, there's many instructors, but I have begotten you in the Lord. It talks about honor. It talks about respect. It talks about submission. It talks about humility. In picking up those words, these words are very important. And I want to say this, you know, we always talk about order. We say we've got to take away the mixture last week. We want to continue on and flow kind of out of that. Because if we still have the mixture, you find that you can never come to that order because of so many. Perhaps sometimes we get offended, or perhaps because we have some bad experience. And so we keep all these things inside. We never let go. We never deal with it. Or sometimes we say we deal with it, but we never deal with it internally. And so there's all these internal conflicts that are happening in the inside. And outwardly, we're happy going Christian every Sunday morning, right? But the reality is this. Alright? Is there things inside that needs to be dealt with? You know, and I want to say this here in passing. In the book of Malachi, and this the Lord dealt with me a number of years ago, very strongly. And it was a tough time, and God really dealt with me as I was reading the book of Malachi. But in the book of Malachi, you know, it was talking about how, you know, you bring all these things, you honor, you do all your own things, you do all these wicked things, And then how can you do that and at the same time worship me and offer me offerings and bring this to my altar and do all these kind of acts of worship and all these beautiful things of all this, Lord Jesus, I love you, if internally there's all these negative, all these perhaps hatred or bitterness or unforgiveness happening inside of your life, and you come to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You know I love you. Right? Yeah. Jesus. Okay, anyway. But is it 1:6? Thank you. Oh yeah, that's the one. I've got it yellow here. And he says this, verse 5 and 6. It says here, my covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me, so he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way, you have caused many to stumble at the law, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all people, because you have not kept my ways, and have shown partiality in the Lord. Okay, so these are the verses when I was reading that, and that really spoke to me and said, oh, I come into the household of God, I bring an offering of worship and of thanksgiving, but if the things that are inside my heart are not clear, just simply means clear conscience, alright, that I've got to deal with it. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I want to say this morning, it's important to know who are over us. Now I remember I was in a particular place, and it was a collaboration of worship, different worship teams. And so, and there was, obviously there's always one who is the leader of the group, is that right? Who organizes it and brings the team together, right? And so, you've got to understand that, right? So if the others just come in now, I'm giving you a real scenario here, remember this particular person just walked in and talented, absolutely talented, no jokes. Great singer, beautiful voice, understand music, understand beats, understand rhythms, understand all these things. Very good, very talented. But no matter how talented you are, it doesn't make you suddenly, okay, you're calling the shots now because you're so good, right? And this person started to pull the shots and trigger, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and okay, you can do this and you're going to do that. And I thought, hey, that's not really right. Do you understand? You're somehow overstepping your boundary here. You understand that this is a team. You got to know where you are. We got to understand who is above all and who is over us, who has been appointed in this group at this time. You gotta understand. If I come to your team some other time, fine, I will submit to that. Right? I mean I will be part of it. You understand? So but when you start doing that, you start to do your own thing, and you cross that boundary, and surely this is not proper order. Does that mean, do you understand what it means by order? There's going to be order in the house of the Lord. I want to read, let me quickly read a few more scriptures here, and then deal with the last one here. I think this is very important. I mentioned it last week, but I think I should say this here. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, he says, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. He who lives and was dead, and was, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Verse 19, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars, which you saw in my right hand, and 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. Now in Jesus' right hand there are 7 stars. Who are the 7 stars? They are the 7 angels. You understand that? Now remember, the word angel here is not angelic, doesn't necessarily mean angelic being, but it simply means messenger. Alright? So that means in this context, it would be the minister or the pastor or the shepherd of that particular local church. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it goes on to chapter 2 and chapter 3, and to the church of this, and to the church of Ephesus, and to the church of Sardis and Philadelphia, and all these other churches, Thyatira, right, and all these churches. And so you have the messages going to the local churches.
Yeah.
Like, I ask you a question here. The order is very clear. I mean, I think there's so much into this, but I wanted to look at the last part here. Is that the message goes to the stars. The stars brings the message to the church. Does that make sense? I don't know if you're following me right now. All I'm saying here is there's a message that Jesus wants to give. There's a message that Jesus wants to give. But the messages God will give to the stars that has been given over a local church. Does that make sense? And if you're not finding a local church, then how do you hear the message, number one? Number two, if you're finding a local church but here not hearing, then how are we ever going to hear the message? Is that right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying here is that if we don't understand this order, or if we have problems with authorities, or if we have offenses that have not been dealt with, you will see that everything that's coming from above, from God to the appointed leaders, does not get into us, because we'll build this wall. And we'll build this, you know, this wall that separates us and stops us from receiving what God wants us to receive. Now, you've got to understand, when that happens, it's not what man wants us to receive, it's what God wants us to receive through man. And how many of you know that that takes humility to recognize that? Because most of us, likes it only when God speaks to me personally. We don't like the idea that, oh, God can speak to the congregation. I'm not talking about your personal life. I'm talking about the church. We think like, oh, really? Do I have to come into that place? Well, I think it is important too.
Yeah.
Both ways. Not only God will speak to you because personal life. God's going to deal with you personally, right? You have this personal issue. God will deal with your personal issues. But when it comes to the family, when it comes to the church, when it comes to the message of the seven churches, you want to hear that message to the church. Then you've got to know how God is speaking for that particular context here. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Do you understand why it's so important to be part of the local church? But not just be part of it, be connected.
Yeah.
Receive it and hear what God is actually saying. You know, I want to say this as well in passing, you know, because I believe, and I want to make it very clear how I operate at least, is I know that I'm set, composed in this body. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, I can go out and get sent out for a conference, for example. I go out and attend a conference that pastors wants us to attend sometimes. Or perhaps, you know, there's something happening here and so we visit. There are other ministers that come and minister to us. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes some of you like to follow, you know, your preachers on, you know, online.
Yeah.
Right? You all have your own favorites.
Yeah.
Every time I know it's true, you know, because, you know, sometimes I walk into your house or in your car, I can hear on the thing it's playing, or I walk in some places, okay, you don't need to know which places, but, you know, people are listening to their, you know, best preacher, best teacher. They love someone, or not love someone, but they're really inclined to a particular style of teaching or a particular preacher or anything like that. Hey, nothing wrong with that, all right?
Yeah.
At least it shows that you're interested in the things of God, right?
Yeah.
That's listening to something that's completely nothing to do with God. At least you're putting something godly in our minds. But what I'm trying to say here is, no matter how much we do all these things, right, I know in my heart that my parents are still my parents.
Yeah.
I'm talking spiritually here, okay? Not just naturally. Okay? I still know who they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alright? That means everything I'm receiving is in the context of, hang on. I still recognize that, hang on, these are my parents. So I'm not confused.
Yeah.
Because the moment I get confused about this, then you try to take something here, something there, something here, something here, and then we're trying to set the rules now, it just brings chaos in the house, you know? And because sometimes we find this difficulty to come under the household of God, you know? So as a result, because we can't get what we want, then we go to someone who will give us what we like to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying your preachers are bad or anything like that. I'm just saying that you and I will look for something where we can get at least satisfied with what we want to hear.
Yeah.
or we like to hear, which are not necessarily wrong. But everything must always be in contextual point. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's important. All right. Otherwise, we start doing that, we get disconnected.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own style all of a sudden. And you come here and you're like, one wants to raise a hand, one doesn't want to, one's like a beggar, one's like shy, one's like extra vegan. So you have all kinds. You look at the whole people here and you're like, wow, it's a
spectrum.
Yeah, very spectrum, very widespread, you know? And no offense to anybody, I'm just saying what is true. Alright? We all have different styles. Okay, some people will cross hands, some people will put hands in the pocket. Some people would just stand, and some people would just stand still and sit still or do nothing or what. There's all kinds, right? But I'm talking about here knowing that when we come together, we are part of one and the same family. Let me ask you, say this. Who are those that are with us and who are those that are for us?
Yeah.
Now, let me just conclude with this really quickly. I won't take much of your time because I know we've got some business to go on with. But those who are with us and for us, and I want to put it together here, because with us, many people can be with us,
yeah.
Right? But who are those that are for us is another story here, right? Now, for example, I'll give you an example. Before Jesus died, right, he had at least 500, his resurrection and all that stuff, there were 500 disciples. But on the day of Pentecost, how many people were actually found in the upper room? 120. What about the rest? I mean, it's for you and I to think about, right?
Yeah.
Does that bring out a message, though? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many who are around, but not many that will stick around. Or always stick around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want you to see church. I want you to see family like this. Alright? It's like that. When you talk about your own blood-related family, and those who are very strong in their family bondings and things like that, you know you want to be true, stay true to your family. You don't want to betray, though it happens anyway, but hopefully not in the Christian world. Yet it happens, but not here, hopefully. okay? Alright. But this is what I want to say here. I want to conclude with.
No.
Right? Because you're very spiritual and lovely Christians. Okay, now let me say this finally here. I want to say another last thing here. Is Jesus had 12 disciples.
Yeah.
All 12 was with him, following him during his ministry for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Right? 12 was with Jesus, but not all 12 were for Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Who's that one that I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Right? The son of perdition, the devil. He was with Jesus. But where did he end up? So he was doing all these things, all this time, for 3.5 years he was with Jesus. But all these issues that he had, he was always thinking about finance, he was always thinking about, oh, he shouldn't do that. Always coming up what Jesus was trying to say. Jesus was trying to teach about something and he was like, oh, but I've got this idea, we should be feeding the poor, we should be doing this kind of ministry, we shouldn't be ministering to people like this, we should be ministering to people like that. We should be running church this way, not that way.
Yeah.
This should be like that.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? And why is the leader doing this? Why is the pastor? Jesus still loves us, right?
Yeah.
Even if we're guilty of that. But I am trying to be real.
Yeah.
We are guilty of this, right?
Yeah.
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 I'm going to put my hand up.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not exempted, right? But this is what I'm saying. Who are those that are with us?
Yeah.
Those who are for us.
Yeah.
We can be with, that's great.
Yeah.
But who are for us,
yeah.
That's going to be tested with time,
yeah.
Tested by fire,
yeah.
Tested by trials. When those things come, then you would really know who are those that are not just with, but those that are ultimately for. And I want to say this, and the reason why I share all of this is because I look at this as a family.
Yes.
Not just a club, because if it's a club, you pay membership, you come here, and that's it, great.
Yeah.
You get your benefits, you don't like what you don't get what you want, then you can chabut. You can just do the same. Right? But when you look at church, suddenly you realize God is the one who's overall.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
is the one who appoints, sets, and I'm part of this town, and it's different. because then this relationship we have with one another is a different kind of relationship. Amen?
Yeah.
Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that you are faithful, working in our lives and dealing with the deep issues in our hearts. We don't want mixture, but we want your divine order to come upon our lives this morning. Come upon this church so that with your zeal you will order it and establish your house. Lord, if man, if it is in vain, if the Lord does not build a house, those who labor in vain. Lord, our labor will not be in vain because we look up to you and we understand what you're doing in this household, in this church, Evangelical Christian Fellowship. You're doing a wonderful thing. We're trusting and seeing that you are doing a mighty work, a deep work into our hearts, so that your church will be set in order. Because there's a great assignment and a great future for what lies outside of these four walls, but there's a much First, the judgment first comes to the house of God, first and foremost. So thank you, Lord. Settle it. We deal with it this morning. We make a decision.
Yes.
We deal with those issues of our hearts.
Yes.
We give you glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.